International Religious Freedom, an Imperative for Peace and the Common Good. That's the title of a conference jointly sponsored by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, Catholic Relief Services, and the Catholic University of America that was taking place in Washington on Wednesday. Among the participants attending the one-day conference was Bishop Richard Pates of Des Moines, chairman of the U.S. Bishops' Committee on International Justice and Peace. He spoke to Vatican Radio's Susie Hodges and explained why the issue of international religious freedom is so important and timely. Another of the participants who spoke to Susie Hodges was John Garvey, president of the Catholic University of America, who spoke about why he believes threats to religious freedom are growing around the world.
The importance and timeliness of this seminar is because of the fact that Cardinal Dolan and the leadership of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops have focused very strongly on the question of domestic religious liberty. Because of some of the problems that we have incurred with regard to the administration here in the United States. And so, therefore, we want also to take a very significant look at the issue with regard to international justice and peace, also as a counterpart to what we're trying to achieve here. And Cardinal Dolan specifically has asked that we concentrate both not only on domestic religious liberty, but also international justice and peace and international liberty.
When it comes to domestic religious liberty, you are presumably referring to the controversy over the federal health care mandate requiring most religious employers to provide health care insurance cover for contraceptives and abortion-inducing drugs and sterilizations. And I know that this case is still going through the law courts as we speak. How hopeful are you that it could lead to an overturning of this?
Well, we're very hopeful because of the fact that it's been introduced in several jurisdictions. And I think the issue is certainly related to religious liberty to health and human services mandate, but also there are four or five other instances, migration and refugee services, where similar issues and a pattern has developed with regard to the denial of religious liberty throughout kind of our system. So we're very positive, hopeful that it will go through the judicial system, but also we're still trying to work with the government itself, President Obama's government, and also we're taking legislative remedies too. So all three are in play, but we are very hopeful about the court cases.
Okay, looking beyond this issue, what other threats to religious freedom do the bishops see in the U.S. at this moment?
Well, we would see just the culture of the country in terms of a kind of a liberal orientation, whereby the issues with regard to the moral issues are certainly front and center. You know, the imposition of moral prerogatives that we really feel are important to live. We see the issue with regard to same-sex marriages. We see the issue with regard to the hiring and granting of certain different opportunities for different agencies that they place on that, the fact that they have strings attached, that they have to implement certain moral perspectives that we are completely in disagreement with.
Okay, let's move on now to the international situation, where indeed threats to religious freedom there are often threats to a person's life or physical safety. Take, for instance, Iraq and Nigeria, which are being discussed at this seminar. How worried are you about events in those two countries?
Well, we're very concerned about them. You know, I think it's developed over time in Iraq, and particularly because of the American invasion, that we feel a very special responsibility there. But religious freedom, I believe everybody will concur, has deteriorated since Saddam Hussein was overthrown. And so we're trying to work with the people of that country and also international agents, Archbishop Chilicut, the Apostolic Nuncio and Permanent Observer of the Holy See at the United Nations is going to speak on that particular topic. And then in Nigeria, of course, would be less. There's certainly Boko Haram and some very serious terrorist organizations operative there. So we recognize the problems, significant problems, but I think we have to understand that they need to be addressed with some forethought and understanding in organizations.
The third country where, let's say, the issue of religious freedom is going to be discussed is Cuba. Now, this is a country where the, shall we say, intolerance towards religion comes not so much from the culture, but from the communist government. And, of course, that's the case in several other communist countries around the world. How are The restrictions against religion in Cuba at least have lessened somewhat of late. Do you believe that this liberalisation trend will continue, or do you think it will remain difficult for religious believers in the foreseeable future?
Well, I had the opportunity to be in Cuba when the Holy Father was there, and our impression, of course, is that it's a movement, a positive movement, and that religious liberty has become more and more a feature of the country itself and of the culture, that it's definitely on the rise. And I think that the next to the government itself, that the most important institution in Cuba today is the Catholic Church. So I think it's going to continue to rise positively.
What are, in practical terms, the most important restrictions on religious practice in Cuba that still remain in place?
Well, I think the ability to speak in the public square, to take a position with regard to counter the government itself. In other words, some of the restrictions of the government, there's not free speech particularly vibrant in Cuba at this point in time. So I think just the basic religious freedom to see that you not only are able to worship, not able to organize and that sort of thing, but also to speak. And I think also the implementation of Catholic schooling system throughout the country would be important also.
One very last question. So what do you hope this seminar will achieve?
Well, I think what we want to achieve is just awareness, that people see that indeed throughout the world this is a particularly important issue, that we're very grateful there will be a number of participants who will come from the State Department of the United States, and I think it's drawing a very significant crowd of players in these issues today that can make a difference. And so I think it calls achievement to that. And I think speaks to the fact that the Catholic Church is very much important in dedicating a lot of interest to this particular human right across the board, regardless of one's religious affiliation, that this is a human right, that this is necessary for all of us to be able to make sure that it exists in all of our different countries, put the pressure on these countries.
Another of the participants at the conference was John Garvey, president of the Catholic University of America.
Why was it decided to hold this seminar on this particular theme? Is it because you believe that there are growing threats to religious freedom around the world?
I think that that's true. There are a number of areas that the seminar will focus on, in particular Nigeria, Iraq, and Cuba. But our own issues of religious freedom in the United States, which are of a very different order, I think have focused our attention on the subject generally and brought attention, more attention to international affairs than we sometimes show.
Coming to international affairs, Pakistan is a country that often springs to mind when thinking of the theme of religious freedom, especially in the wake of the recent, very highly publicized case involving a 14-year-old Christian girl with mental disabilities who was jailed for several weeks under the country's controversial anti-blasphemy laws. Is this, to your mind, symptomatic of a very disturbing trend in certain countries?
I don't know whether it will amount to a trend or not. It's certainly disturbing, and it is reassuring that some action has been taken to release that young lady. You know, I think that the threats that we're seeing to religious freedom are of two kinds, some of them led by the state, and then others by private groups like Boko Haram in Nigeria or the recent violence we've seen just in the last couple of days in Iraq that stem, I think, from a culture of religious intolerance.
Now, we've talked about these countries like Iraq and Nigeria, where the threat to a minority community can often be for their lives or at least their physical safety. But then there are other nations like the US, for example, where the threats to religious liberty are less extreme. You know, nobody's likely to die. But nonetheless, the church has been talking up about, you know, the growing marginalization of religion, the intolerance of talking about religion, perhaps in the public sphere. Is this something of deep concern to many Catholics in the US?
It's very concerning to us in the United States. There is a kind of intolerance that grows up in secular societies where religion over time becomes just something that's not important in people's lives, and the government becomes less concerned with it and gives it second or third place behind other policies.
I was speaking to John Garvey, president of the Catholic University of America, and earlier you heard the voice of U.S. Bishop Richard Pates of Des Moines.